Our scripture reading this morning is going to be from Luke, and we're going to do chapter 2 and the verses 1 through verse 20 this morning. I always like to call this the Linus Van Pelt speech, because for those of you who ever watched the Peanuts special, this is the one that Linus comes out when Charlie Brown wants to know what the meaning of Christmas is, and famously says, "Lights, please," and it comes on. And you realize today how many of us grew up with that they probably won't show that on TV today, because they don't want to offend anybody by having a cartoon character, let alone a child, read scripture. So ABC may not do it, but by golly, we're going to do it here at the Forum this morning. So Luke chapter 2, it's page 1434 in your companion Bible. Hear now the word of our Lord. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so that it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Amen.
We are using some PowerPoint slides. So those listening on audio, I think we'll pretty well cover it well, if we can get the picture to come up. Although we're not in the birth of Christ, I believe that we are in the days of the wise men. So we're going to study that aspect of the season. And to do that, we're going to have to go back and do some groundwork and review some things that Peter has so well taught you about the birth of Christ as a background, so we can then discover about the wise men. So let's take a look at the birth of Jesus, the when part of it. And David so well read the Luke in chapter 2, but in Luke chapter 1, we have to go back to the birth and the conception and birth of John the Baptist. And you can read all about that. We're not going to read all of that, but that is in Luke 1, 5 through 25, and again in 57 through 80. In Luke 1. We know about his father, the priest Zacharias, who was appointed to one of the 24 courses of Abia. And we know that his wife, named Elizabeth, It says they were both righteous, they were old and childless. And the conception of John took place around June 24th, 5 BC. This is about the time that Zacharias would have come out of his course. Of course, he was blinded by the angel because he doubted what the angel had told him about the birth of John. So they fumbled their way back home and finally got back there around early part of June, because his course, first course, was done in about May. His second course was done probably in November, which doesn't fit the scenario. So we're talking about the May course of that Zechariah served in the temple. So we know that John was conceived around June 24th, 5 BC, which places his birth around March 25th, 4 BC. Of course, the Catholic Church, my good friends, the Catholics, they celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation on March 25th to make it fit the December 25th date of the birth of Christ, the Feast of the Annunciation of the angel to Mary. Now, in Luke 1 through 26 through 56, we go through the birth of Mary, the birth of Christ and Mary. And in the sixth month, it says, the angel came to her, the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So Gabriel appeared to Mary in Nazareth, and she was a virgin. And this was in June of 5 BC when Elizabeth conceived John. So then about 6 months later, this would have put in December 5 BC that the angel visited Mary in Nazareth. So Mary conceived Jesus on December 25th, 5 BC, and the beginning and the Word became flesh at that point, according to John 1:14. And then we go to Luke. These are the verses that David read, Luke 2, 1 through 39. We see the birth and the circumcision and the presentation of Jesus. Of course, we know from the very first verse there was a decree from Caesar Augustus, and we know when that was. That was in 4 BC. And we also know that that governor, whose name was Cyrenius in Syria, we know that he governed at that time in 4 BC. And this decree went out before winter because Caesar knew these people had to travel to their hometown, so they would have to do it before winter. This was the Feast of Tabernacles, was also at this time, which was said to be the 15th of Tishri, which would be September 29th that year. Then 8 days later, there was another Sabbath of that feast, the 22nd of Tishri, which had been October 6th. So the problem was, the reason they couldn't find room in the inn is because we had two things going on here. We had all the people coming into Bethlehem and their hometowns to be taxed, and then we also had the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem taking place at that time. So there was a big crowd for that. So that's why there was no room in the inn. And we know that shepherds were abiding in the fields, and it says they also returned to their fields after the birth of Christ. That had to be before October, because October is when they started bringing their flocks in from the fields for the winter. Now, the perfect gestation period for a human being is 7 times 40, which is 280 days. And so from December 25th, 5 BC, 280 days would put the birth of Christ to September 29th, 4 BC, which was exactly the 15th day of Tishri that year. Jesus was born September 29th, 4 BC. So that was the 15th of Tishri, the first Sabbath of the Feast of Tabernacles. And John 1:14 says, "And he tabernacled among us." Back in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 23:33-36, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day, which was Jesus' birth, shall be a holy convocation, and ye shall do no service work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day, which was Jesus' circumcision, shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein." So those are the two Sabbaths of the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, another good source of information is Appendix 179 in your Appendix Bible. I think you can sort of read that. But it shows the parallel datings of various ways of determining years around the birth of Christ. The Anno Mundi would be the year 4000 at this time. And this was in the 28th year of Augustus Caesar. And the taxing by Augustus took place in the year 4 BC. But when Dionysius, Exiguus, he was a great mathematician apparently, but when he figured the date for the calendars, for the Gregorian calendar from the Julian calendar, he figured that 32 AD was when the year of the Lord was born, but he was only 4 years off. So that's why the year Christ's birth, when he was born, is a zero there, is in 4 BC, because he was 4 years off in the Gregorian calendar. And it also notes here that Herod the king died, DC means deceased, at the end of January 3 BC. So that's an important fact that we'll talk about in a minute. So when they changed the birth of Christ from September 29th to the 25th of December, in about the fourth century AD, some changes had to be made. We know for a fact that the angel announcing the birth to the shepherds was Michael. He was the one that did the announcing of the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord in Revelation. September 29th was also known in the early years as the festival of Michael and all angels. So Christmas Day, December 25th, it was a holiday long before the birth of Jesus. That's the time when they celebrated the birth of the Egyptian Horus or Osiris, and also many other pagan gods before that. That was the end of the year. That was before the beginning of the new year. So that was when all these celebrations took place. They already gave gifts to each other. They already had parties and orgies and drunkenness and all this going on at that time of the year. And they decorated trees and had candles and all sorts of things. So that was all done before Christmas, the birth of Christ, was moved to December 25th. And March 25th, which was what? That was the day that John was born, it was changed to the Annunciation of the birth of Christ, of the conception of Christ, to fit the December 25th date. So there was a lot of changes that had to be going on then. So then we also took a look, and Peter's taught you well in this, the birth of Jesus, where he was born. Well, I think we've debunked the normal Christmas nativity scene where you have a place that looks like a stall in a barn with a hay manger there on the wall. And of course, there were sheep and there were goats and there were cows and there were whatever. And you also had the three wise men there and the camels and the shepherds from the flocks and the angels. And it was, they threw it all in there together. But Genesis 35:21 says, "And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar." And in Micah 4:8 says, "And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, even the fifth dominion," even the first dominion. This was the tower of the flock. Daughter of Zion would be Bethlehem, and the first dominion was the dominion of Christ. So this is an actual picture of Migdal Edar, Tower of the Flock. Doesn't look so great, but it's 2,000 years old. When I'm 2,000 years old, I hope I look that good. But it was a stone tower, round. And you can see at the top the openings where the shepherds would watch over the flocks. These are the pastoral flocks, the paschal lambs being born for the Passover meals in Jerusalem. And at the bottom of that tower, the base of that tower, was a, you might call it a stall, but it was called a manger, the manger, where it was kept ceremonial clean at all times. So whenever a lamb was born, the lamb was immediately wrapped in swaddling and protected from all injuries and diseases and everything they could protect it from, so they could have a perfect lamb for the sacrifices. So this is the Migdal Tower of Edar. Kind of looks like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, maybe. So Jesus was born September 29th, 4 BC, in this Tower of Edar. And he was circumcised on the eighth day, which had been October 6th, the second Sabbath of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And then Mary had to go through her period of purification, which was 40 days after the birth of a male child. For a female child, it was like 60 some days. So 41 days puts this out at November 8th, when Jesus was presented to the Lord in Jerusalem. They were to take the child, if a male, 40 days, present them to the Lord in Jerusalem. And then Luke 2:39 says they returned to Nazareth. So you can see there at the bottom is, we lost our picture. Have a loose wire. At the bottom here is Bethlehem, and the red circle is Jerusalem, and way up north up there is Nazareth. So they presented the child, they took him from Bethlehem after 40 days to Jerusalem for the presentation, and then they returned home to Nazareth, about a 90-mile trip. So you could take Matthew chapter 2, which we're going to talk about, And you can slip it right in between Luke 2:39 and Luke 40. This is where Matthew chapter 2 fits into things. So it just says they went back to their own city, Nazareth. And now we're going to talk about the wise men. Matthew chapter 2. Well, you'll notice in the scriptures there's no exact connection time-wise when the wise men came to Jerusalem in connection with the birth of Jesus. But I believe there's a window of time when they would have come, because we have the birth of Christ, September 29th, and then we have the death of Herod 4 months later in January of 3 BC. So who were these wise men? Well, the Greek is 3097 megos, which means Magian. A Magian. And then it goes on to describe some other things: Oriental scientists, magician, wise men. I don't always go along with what the concordance defines some of these words, because they're kind of twisted to make it fit the English translation that we have. The Hebrew there, 7448, the same person would have been called a Rab Mag. Now Rab, R-A-B, means a position of authority. It could be a priest, it could be a chief, it could be some position of authority. So they could have been chief Magians. Well, Magians come from the Persia. They are Persian priests, magicians, sorcerers, chiefs, whatever. Doesn't say king. Doesn't say they were kings. It doesn't say they were Gentiles. I suppose there were Jews, you know, since Babylon, the captivity of Babylon, there were Jews dispersed all over the place. They might have been Jews, I don't know, but it doesn't say whether they were or were not. They were from the east, and they were carrying prophetic gifts. And they knew the prophets, the prophetic sayings about the birth of Jesus. So they might have been some sort of prophet. Just saying. And we weren't told how many wise men were there. Everybody says three, but there were three gifts, so they just figured there were three wise men. And the star they were following is commonly called the Star of Bethlehem. Was the Star of Bethlehem ever over Bethlehem? We're going to look at that. It doesn't say so in the scriptures. What was the star? There are many ideas. Probably an angelic host of some sort. The star was in the west. If we go to Matthew chapter 2, says that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea on the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So which way were they traveling? They were traveling west, right? They were coming from the east, traveling west, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen the star," it says here, "in the east, and are come to worship him." Well, they were being in the east, we saw a star, is the correct translation. Being in the east, we saw a star. So the star was in the western sky, because that's the direction they were traveling. And it could have appeared 2 years in advance of the birth of Christ. They could have been traveling for 2 years because of some things we're going to look at here in a minute. Keep that in mind. But the purpose of the star was to guide the wise men. Doesn't say anybody else saw the star. Only the wise men saw the star. Think about that. So continuing in Matthew verse 3, when King Herod had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had heard, had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently at what time the star appeared. So, you think about this possibility. Jesus and Mary and Joseph were in Jerusalem for his presentation 40 days after he was born. And the wise men could have been visiting Herod at the exact same time. And Herod asking, where would he be born? And they were looking for this child. The child was right under his nose. Probably just a few blocks away. Think about that. So it's possible that Mary and Joseph and Jesus headed to Nazareth after the presentation, and the Magi crossed their path because they were sent to Bethlehem. Verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And we have found him. Bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. So it's possible that Joseph and Mary were walking down the streets of Jerusalem and they see something very unusual. Three guys on camels going through the cities of Jerusalem. That's an unusual thing. You don't see that every day. So Joseph probably, Mary says, Joseph, get out your camera and take a picture, so we can show our friends back at Nazareth. We saw these strange dudes on camels. Possible. Maybe not the camera part, but it's possible they could have walked right past him in Jerusalem in their way. So the Magi were sent by Herod to Bethlehem to seek out this child. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And they saw the star and they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I think what happened is they went to Bethlehem looking for the child. Not because of the star, because Herod sent them there. When they got to Bethlehem looking for the child, lo and behold, the star shows up. Where? Where was the child? In Nazareth. So the star shows up over Nazareth. And that's why they were exceedingly joyful, because, all right, now we know we're back on track. So they headed to Nazareth. So this would have happened sometime in November, December. They were in Nazareth at their house, in their home. Jesus would have been 2 to 3 months old. In Matthew 2:11, it's called a padion. Padion is an infant. It's not the word for newborn, which the shepherds saw the newborn. This is the word for infant. Now, it's possible that the Magi could have presented their gifts to Jesus on December 25th. It's possible. So if you want to give gifts on December 25th, I guess that's okay, right? Now remember, Herod died late in January 3 BC. What are their prophetic meanings of the gifts? It says they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, first of all, they were very valuable, but gold is a symbol of the earthly kingship. When you look at the inside of the temple that Solomon built, everything was lined with a paper-thin layer of gold, everything. When you walked in there, it was just gold everywhere. Symbol of kingship, royalty. Frankincense. In the temple sacrifices, they used frankincense mixed with oil and fine flour to put on the meat offerings to give this nice odor to the Lord. And it's always Satan messing with things, right? The prince of the power of the air. Okay. So frankincense was, it made this odor that was pleasing to God. And even in the Catholic Church, the priest would have this censer that was a gold thing like a bowl with a lid on it, and there was a chain, and the lid would slide up the chain, and in this pot was a hot charcoal, and they would have this other little container with incense, and they would take a little spoon and sprinkle some incense on that charcoal and close the lid, and smoke comes out, and they would go around and wave this smoke everywhere. This is a symbol of holiness. Presence of God is what it's supposed to mean. And myrrh, they mixed at Jesus' burial 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe for his burial. So myrrh is a burial spice or herb. And it's one of the three major spices. So this was a symbol of his coming death. But these gifts were very, very expensive. These would have set this family up for life. Now, the Roman Church, the Anglican Church, the Lutherans, and so on, they had this feast called the Feast of the Epiphany. Epiphania. So their meaning of Epiphania is the Christ is manifested to the Gentiles, the Magi. At Bethlehem, not Nazareth, 12 days after he was born. January 6th. The Orthodox Church, remember that word Orthodox? Orthodox Church calls it Theophany, which means visible manifestation to God, of God to man. Let me say that again. Visible manifestation of God to man. And theirs, they celebrate Christ's birth on January 7th. And then January 19th is the 12 days. So they take the Catholic Church 12 and raise them 12. So they add another 12 days in there. So this is where you get the 12 days of Christmas, interestingly. So what happened was in Matthew 2, 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they, the Magi, should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother," and not the newborn, the young child and his mother, "and flee into Egypt, and thou there until and be thou there until I bring the word of Herod, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. So if they were in Nazareth when this happened, the wise men took off to the east, and Mary, Joseph, and the baby left for Egypt. Now, the traditional version is in the green. So the bottom part here is the traditional view, where the wise men came to Bethlehem either when Jesus was born or 12 days after. And at that point, they were given this dream or vision from the Lord to depart and not go back to Jerusalem. So the wise men would have taken off then to the east, and Mary, Joseph, and Jesus would have went to Egypt. Well, that would have been right after he was born. She was still in her days of purification. He had just been circumcised. Those are tender moments. I don't think that would have happened that way. And it doesn't fit the scenario because of Herod's death. So, and they wouldn't have had the dedication or the presentation of Jesus in Jerusalem. So you can see where that scenario doesn't fit the picture. So Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from two years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. According to the time which he had diligently required of the wise men. What did he require of the wise men? When did they see the star? Matthew 2:7. If you read the companion Bible notes on Matthew 2:1, it says, Herod, having inquired accurately as to the time fixed on the 2 years, which would have thus been about the age of the Lord. So he's saying that the child would have been 2 years old. Well, the problem is Herod died 4 months after Jesus was born. And he put that in Appendix 179. So it seems like he missed something here. And in Matthew 2:16, about the 2 years, it was now nearly 2 years since the birth at Bethlehem. Herod had inquired very accurately. The wise men found a infant, not a brifos, which is a newborn. So in my opinion, Herod was told by the Magi that they had been traveling and following this star for about 2 years. That is why he ordered all male infants 2 years and younger to be killed. Jesus could not have been 2 years old when the Magi came if Herod died 4 months after Jesus' birth. It is estimated that about 14,000 male children were killed from this order from King Herod. Not shortly after he got seriously ill and died. I wonder why. But today, through abortion, a lot more than that are killed every month. So the important fact is that King Herod the Great died in January 3 BC, 4 months after Jesus was born, shortly after ordering the slaughter. The Magi would have already been to Nazareth and have not returned to Herod. So in Matthew 2:19 to 23, we have the story where Jesus, Mary, and Joseph went to Egypt. They were told that Herod had died now, so it was safe to come back. But when they headed toward Judea, they found out that Archelaus, Herod's son, was now reigning in his stead. This would be our equivalent to a Hunter Biden. He was a bad dude. So Joseph didn't want to go there. He feared this guy. So they diverted their path and went back to Nazareth. And Herod had already died. So what is the purpose of the story of the wise men? First, to acknowledge the prophetic coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were first to acknowledge and worship the Savior. They exposed the neglectful attitude of the Judeans. The gifts were prophetic of Jesus' life and purpose. And the gifts provided many years of support for a faithful family. I was thinking about this last night. They had all this frankincense and gold and myrrh. You suppose they packed it up on their donkey when they went to Egypt? They had to, right? And they packed it all the way back to Nazareth? That's just something I thought about, just something interesting to think about. What did they do with all that stuff? I mean, that was very, very valuable. And they were just packing it with them. So we have the timeline here. We have the conception of John, the conception of Jesus. We have the birth of John. We have the birth of Jesus. And then we had the arrival of the wise men sometime November, December. So now that you've learned that we are in the time and the days of the wise men right now, so we just hope that little study makes you a little wiser on that point. Thank you, Father, for these messages today. We thank you for your truth. In Christ's name, we pray. And we glorify you. We glorify the Holy Spirit. We glorify Christ. And we're looking forward to celebrating his conception day, as it says on Eldon's sweatshirt. Amen.